And I tell you that we read quite a sizable section of this chapter, Exodus chapter 28, Genesis, Exodus. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's son. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, and of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of their names on one stone, and the other six stone names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine, fine linen, thou shalt make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. Thou shalt set it, and will leave the stones, jumping down to verse 21, every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chain, and again will jump down, except to notice in verse 28 that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the Lord, unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. He shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. He shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. Upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and the bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Now, a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the front of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the most holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that he may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets, that they shalt thou make for them for glory. It's laid on my heart tonight, beloved brethren, in a similar way, to look a little at the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, of turning to the epistle to the Hebrews, I thought we might turn to this passage in Exodus 28 and look at it in a simple sort of way. Our types, I may say, is quite as real as any other type, as any other language. And God sometimes uses these clear figures in order to bring home to us, may I say, in an attractive way, truths that are of the greatest moment to ourselves. I find, beloved brethren, that it's an immensely that God has not only brought his people into grace, into nearness, he's brought them into favor, but the wonderful thing is that he would sustain us in this place. And brethren, that we shall find in these studies the amazing grace of our God, who would not only bring us into nearness, again one would say, into favor, but would maintain us here. And this lesson will come home to us very clearly as we go down this chapter. Suppose that anyone coming near to the tabernacle of gold might perhaps have thought that the colors were not very arresting. The color of cork, fine linen. The coverings, badger skin. Certainly the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen in the hangings of the court and the hangings of the holy place. But surely anyone who came into the environs of the tabernacle catching a glimpse of Aaron must have had their eyes transfixed. And the brighter light that shone on Aaron, the more they'd be amazed at the beauty of that man. Now, beloved brethren, that we can see that there is a difference between Aaron and our Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron was concerned the garments were made Aaron conspicuous. But when we came about our Lord Jesus Christ,
may I say it is the person who makes garments conspicuous. Tonight, and I'll ask the older brethren to bear with me, as we this passage in a simple sort of way, I hope that the one who will stand out from the page is the Lord Jesus himself, in all his attractiveness and beauty, and we might be engaged with him. Two of them may say, who I reckon upon as prayer helpers in connection with these weekend journeys, I shared with them the matter of the subject for tonight. Oh, they said, when we were girls, many of the homes of the saints had pictures of Aaron in his garments of glory and beauty. Well, perhaps this isn't the case in 1972. So it falls to the speaker, as far as he is able, to make Aaron and his garments and more, the one whom he sets forth, vivid to everyone in this room tonight. And for that, I want to dwell more particularly upon the following, and I will seek to proceed in order. First of all, let us have a look at the ephod. The ephod and its colour. Could we then consider the breastplate, the second item made of the same material? Could we consider the stones that are seen here on the shoulder in the breastplate? Fourth, let us consider the curious girdle of the ephod. Now, if you've noticed, read down this passage, there are two girdles. There's the curious girdle of the ephod, as well as the girdle that is found on the embroidered coat, the checkered vest. I just mention this because it's a point that's sometimes overlooked. And we shall consider the robe of the ephod. An embroidered coat, what Mr. Darby gives in his translation of the checkered vest. And then we'll have a wee look back at that plate of gold. Holiness of the Lord. I think if we look these together, we'll have enough and more than enough for the little time we are together. Now perhaps it's necessary at the commencement just to get our minds here as to what is the teaching in regard to Aaron in this passage. First of all, see him as the high priest for God's earthly people, Israel. As the seed as far as the holy place. And as to that dispensation, the censer was found in the holy place, carried into the holiest of all only once a year, and then not without blood. But we can learn in this wonderful passage two other very clear lines of teaching. And these will be what will be ending us more particularly in our meditation this evening. First of all, we can see in Aaron the one who has been established by God as a nail in a sure place before ever he comes out in the coming day of display. The line of truth we'll see is that in this inside place, in constant priestly ministry, he sustains his people in their wilderness journey. And more than that, three times over we had at the commencement of this chapter, that he may minister unto me. Now, I do preliminary remarks might set us free when we come to consider these items of Aaron's garment. May I have my eye on every the oldest saint. There are truths for the youngest believer, because one can see truth like this, and the Spirit of God himself describes it as perilous times. We need to be many a time having recourse to this priest, and I hope we'll see him in his attractiveness and his beauty for the oldest saint, as well as for the youngest believer. Get to know this hyphen. The ephod, which particularly set forth the official glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find, never read this, and I hope the brethren will put me right afterwards, we find an exemplification of what we have in Hebrews chapter 2. We see not yet all things put under his feet, but we see Jesus crowned with glory and with honor. The goal seems to set forth the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and having regard to the coming day of glory, we know that he will be manifested as the mighty God, Isaiah 9, or the God and our Savior, Titus 2 or 3. The gold speaks of deity. The blue speaks heavenly man, and he is indeed the Lord of heaven. The purple, the nation, I suppose, of red and of blue, sets forth here with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the scarlet colour, we can see great David's greater son. And in the fine, fine linen, know that a king shall rule in righteousness. Come to conceive priestly grace of the Lord Jesus. It isn't my purpose to go through all the colours in the ephod, but just to draw attention to a striking addition that are found in the tails of Aaron's garments, and a very striking omission. So far, it's one of the, I suppose, 24 references to blue and purple and scarlet and fine, fine linen that are found in the Pentateuch. There is the important addition, in this case, of gold. Now, later on, though, that the people beat the gold into plates and cut it into wires, and these were woven into the priestly garment, the ephod. And those of you who are familiar with the epistle to the Hebrews will know that in chapter 1, God, who in some times and divers manners spoke to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son. And in this chapter, we have a very striking demonstration of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you proceed to the epistle route, time and time again, you find that the Spirit of God is exalting this high priest before our hearts. Consider, in connection with Melchizedek, how great this man was. And this priest who sustains his people in the wilderness journey is none other than Jesus, the Son of God. This addition of in the ephod is a very clear testimony to the fact that the blessed man of God's right hand is God. And the confidence draw near to this priest in his divine capability to meet the situation. Last evening in our local prayer meet, brother after brother, brother after brother, brother after brother, bringing exercises before the Lord. But how precious to feel that we are bringing to one who
as a divine capability. All power in heaven and earth is given up. And he is the one who is able to succor, sympathize, to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. But the connection with the ephod, may I say, is, for some of us anyway, even. And I'm going to press this home to every brother and sister here as being one of the most precious points in instruction in the whole of this chapter. What is meaning in the ephod? Well, I'm sure some of you who are more familiar with the passage will say at once, what is missing in the ephod is the cherub. In the veil, there was a cherub. In the curtains, cherubim. When you come to the ephod, there is no cherubim. And I'm going to tell you at once why this is precious and so practical so far as this high priest is concerned. This cherubim, this executor of divine judgment, this one who discerns what is according to God and judges accordingly, this cherubim is a most frightening creature. But I can see in this high friendly appeal to draw near to him. And oh, would God that this good brother and sister in this room, the best friend to have is Jesus. We sang it in the Sunday school, but it's truth, it's good for all time. He knows the worst about you, and he loves you just the same. And this is the little point you may have noticed. We were singing a hymn. His heart is filled with tenderness. His very name is love. Our moral glory of the Lord Jesus, written by J.G. Bellett, by a passage that arrested me at the time, and at the absence of the cherubim, I thought, I'll just have a look and see whether I can find it again. And I could, page 70. J.G. Bellett is quoting from someone else. And he says, some people will trust in yours, so to say, but I would rather trust the kindness of Jesus. No, those of my will know that there are some things you can't divulge to your nearest, but you can pour them out in the presence. And what's more, you into his presence. I'm Hebrews that he is presented as a merciful and faithful high priest. And I would God that we could all just see every one of us, whatever might be the pressure on the heart, that the best one, and the one sometimes the last to come to, is this great high priest, who's got divine capability, as seen in the gospel, but his heart beats. Indeed, we sing in another hymn, his very name, love, it assures us of sympathy in heaven, whatever makes. To directly the breastplate. In the breastplate on the ephod, many of its dimensions, four square, a handbreadth. And again, I haven't seen any comment about this, but I have an impression that a handbreadth, is it 5 fingers? I'm not just sure, but 5 in the Scripture is a figure of weakness. Although we have an old brother in our meetings who constantly reminds us, and I think it's good to be reminded of it, it's conscious weakness acknowledged in the presence of acknowledged power. Now the difference. 5, we always, but 5 in the Scripture is weakness acknowledged in the presence of one who can turn weakness into power. I'm going to leave the breastplate, pass on quickly to the next item, which are the gems, which are on the shoulder, in the breastplate, and then an allusion to the Urim and the Thummim. Now, some of us who've been in the meetings now for these things talked about have heard this connected with Sex chapter 1. I quote, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of mind. Now, that's been said in our meetings for a good many years, remembering again. Because in those shoulders, the stones into birth in the ouches of gold, we get a figure of the place of strength in which all the people of God are born up in the presence of our God. Ouches of gold. Now the gold here seems to be a figure of deity so much as divine righteousness. And every child of God, whether advanced like Apostle Paul or simple Christian in 1972, according to their birth, that's the same. Shoulder, according to your birth. When you come to the breastplate, those stones, breastplate of judgment. Now that little word can be also rendered according to the manner of the other day that I thought was uncommonly good, that the Lord Jesus, so great as he needs every gift to set him forth in testimony, and this will need every saint forth in glory. Breastplate, all according to own choice. Let it be precious to know that in your corner, I in mine, nothing to do for God. We are found in the perfections. He would assure us that we have a place in him. Now, so far as the Urim and perfections, it seems to be a reminder that the saints are maintained according to the light of his own presence, the perfections of that standing. In these other references to the Urim and the Thummim, which will be a separate address, and I mustn't embark on it now, it seems to be connected with the ascertaining of the divine mind. A priest arising with Urim and Thummim. Now I would connect this with what we get into. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and not, and it shall be given unto him. And there are many situations individually, and there are many situations collectively, where we need to have light from heaven, guidance from God, to know what we're to do in this new situation. We've never been this way before. Indeed, that's what the scripture says. There has not been this way heretofore. But in a situation like this, there is the assurance in the priestly grace of our life that there'll be a clear indication, if we are but near enough, as to what is the divine mind, as to what we do in the situation. I know that some expositors, well, I rather fell into this pattern at the university. You know, they're connected with the good lot, casting the lot. Well, let others expatiate whatever like in relation to the Urim Thummim. Let's just get it clearly from the scriptures. It's connected with the mind of God, wisdom of heaven, to the situation that we are present down in.
item, which is, I think I can see sound too. Seeing a subject of these scriptures. But suffice to say that this curious girdle of the clearly has a very clear line of teaching for us. Just to understand it for a moment, this ephod was connected at the place, but thereafter it hung down. And what held it in position was the ephod, was the girdle of the ephod. Now, what is the spiritual teaching? Kingship would call your system and will end. Lord Jesus delivers the kingdom up to God, even the Father, that God may be all in all. It rather looks from the scripture that headship will go on to eternity. But in this curious girdle of the ephod, this high priest is now engaged in a service which will only continue for a stated period. May I say that it does throw up in relief that present moment in which we are found today. There's a blessed man in the glory of God. There's a divine person here. And have you ever thought that this is an era which is quite distinctive in the ways of God from eternity to eternity? We find ourselves connected with that faith system and that priestly grace at God's right hand. I don't know whether you ever feel this, perhaps particularly at the supper, when taken aside of yourselves for a moment, livingly linked with this high priest, that there's a service to God in the Spirit's power that we won't even have when we're in his immediate presence. And I think one can see that in this curious girdle of the ephod to our hearts at the very wonderful moment in which we're found. Now I want to spend a little moment on the ephod, but in the robe of the ephod we have his personal glory, as down in connection with the embroidered coat we have his moral glory more particularly brought before us. This robe of the ephod, all of blue, remember this high priest is heavenly in character. The Son of Man which is in heaven, John, the sphere of his priestly service, as well as the person there, is altogether heavenly. This is set forth in that which is blue. What I would particularly to notice is that in construction of this robe of blue, there was winding round about the top, like the opening of a habergeon. Now a habergeon, you're just exactly in the position that I was in until I consulted the Oxford Dictionary. And I discover that it's a sleeveless coat of mail, Mr. Darby. So, describe a coat. But I like the point that it is sleeveless. Perhaps it brings home to your mind, as it certainly brings home to mine, that the one who wears a sleeveless coat of mail is one who wants to be free in order to grapple the enemy. That it should not win. In this the ephod, as to the triumph victor of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in life and in death, which qualifies him in a priestly way to take up the cause of the people of God as they pass through this wilderness course. Exodus 15. The Lord is a man of war. The horse and the rider has he cast. It seems to be a figure here of death. The rider, the devil himself.
And when you turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, we read that through death he has destroyed him that had the power of death, that he might deliver for all their lifetime subject to bondage. When you turn over that the Lord Jesus said, be of good cheer, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. And back in Luke's Gospel, you remember, a strong man armed, his goods are at peace. But if a stronger than he come upon, he taketh away all the earth in which he trusteth, and he spoileth his goods. And all this seems to be, and much more, indicated in this coat of mail. This one, dear one again, say, who was qualified for the priestly is the one who has met the devil in the wilderness, in the garden, defeated him. The one who has overcome the world. And we know from Romans chapter 8 that God has condemned sin in the world. So that the world, the flesh, and the devil have all been care of in the one now in priest. Hasten on, embroidered coat. Mr. Darby gives it as the checkered vest. I throw this out for the Bible students. They'll help me on it afterwards. This is one of the instances where it's not fine twine linen, but it's just linen. Linen in the embroidered coat. Linen is her right. Well, there may be an importance to be connected with those that are well embroidered. I gather from those who are expert in it that it gives the impression of damask. Well, whichever way you look at it, I think it wonderfully brings for our meditation the moral glory of Jesus Christ, bringing fruit in his seed. This is what comes to light as the founder begins of our Lord Jesus. I'm afraid I've forgotten pomegranate and the veil. This in passing, that the pomegranate is nicely balanced with a veil. Or may one again say that the veil is nicely balanced with a pomegranate. And you find this balance perfectly in the Lord himself, of course, but you find it in teaching in the 15th chapter of John, where the pomegranate, the fruitfulness, before you get the testimony at the end of the chapter, ye shall bear testimony unto me, and the reverse order in Acts chapter 2, where you find Peter standing up, the bell is sounded, but at the end of the chapter, you find that they had all things common. And the fruit was found in comfort. Better draw it first. Think we have a wonderful inscription that is found on the plate of gold. When Aaron had a plate of gold, and written upon it is, hold unto the Lord. Could one say, brethren, possibly have been a to mix up in our thinking righteousness with holiness. God has not only set up his law in his presence in righteousness. This is a judicial matter. No charge laid to God's elect a matter of sin. But more than this, God brings his people into his presence in us, holy and without blame before him in love. The high priest maintains everything according to only one standard, and that standard is holiness unto the Lord. And in this particular chapter, it's not with a view of frightening us off, that a most
solemnizing consideration that everything that is offered must be according to standard. But we find that Aaron, bearing the iniquity of the most holy things, presents those offerings according to the divine standard. Now, perhaps this may come home to you in connection with the burnt offering in Levit 1. You remember that the humblest offering there was the turtle dove, and the priest had to put the breast and the feathers to the north side of the altar. But even in regard to that which remains, and there can't have been much except, and it will be accepted for him. And beloved brethren, I take this to be encouragement to us, the youngest as well as the oldest, coming into God's presence in connection with the most holy things. The standard is there, but the priest will see to it that the standard is maintained, and the encouragement will be strong. Now, as I draw to the close of this, could one seek to just draw together what one might call one or two practical considerations from this meditation? The first thing that one would see is how God's presence is, how active this high priest is. I'm going to revert to what I said earlier in the cherubim in the ephod. And one can see in the Epistle to the Hebrews that we are in connection with every detail of our wilderness journey. Hebrews 2 to suffer. Hebrews 4 to sympathize. Hebrews 7 to save to them that come unto God by him. There is an immense attractiveness about this high priest. He would draw us near to me, my brethren, he would say. But more than this, if in those early chapters of Hebrews, from chapter 8 to chapter 10, we get a new priest and a new sanctuary, a new covenant and a new sacrifice, it's on God's side. And three times over we get at the commencement of this chapter that he may minister to me. There are two lines for us to take out of this chapter, beloved brethren, is representation. This high priest is always in the most holy place. He's there representatively for you and for me. We're always on his shoulder in his breastplate, and the Urim and the Thummim are available for us. Representation. But always remember that Aaron also had force, and in association with this high priest, we read in the Hebrews, let us draw near to heart, to assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil, our bodies washed with pure water. He goes in. But the wonderful thought and grace is that we go into him. And one would seek to have resting upon my own heart as I trust may, that we might be found giving him his portion where he ministers unto God, even the Father, in the precepts. Now just one final word of each. I think brethren who are older will bear with that most addresses that you hear on the tabernacle occur between chapters 25 and 30 Exodus. Why is this? I think it's for the simple reason that the early chapters of Exodus we get the divine pattern and its purpose. When you come to chapter 35, the people begin bringing rings, and in chapter 40, Moses constructs the tabernacle, and the cloud comes down. Do you think there might be just a little difference with us
in seeing what is the divine pattern, and secondly, putting it into practice. And I think your address is the 8th chapter of Exodus, not perhaps from the 35th chapter of Exodus, where the people, in willing-hearted, wise-hearted devotion, bring and Aaron is placed. Well, beloved brethren, this was what was on. Again, one would say, Brindle, at least I hope I may have brought home to you something of the immense preciousness of Christ's present priestly grace, the Father's right hand, and let us be encouraged to draw.